Welcome to the Mock Stars Podcast. This is Flash introing the episode, making sure that we mention that we have tokens. Hey, here is my co-host, Menace.
I pressed the wrong button. Hello, everybody. How's it going? If you didn't know, you're listening to the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper, the 23 crisp flavors of heavenly syrup, the nectar of the gods, the limitless pill itself. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube, where we have 333 subscribers. The goal is by the end of MagicCon, we have 400. So share this with your pals. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be on the ground working with people trying to get, you know, subscribe to the show. Hey, what's up? We cool? We're cool. Look at us. We're cool dudes. Like, you want to listen to us?
If you get a Dr. Pepper from us, that is legally binding.
You have to subscribe
to at least one of the higher tiers on Patreon. Like, you can't even be a free subscriber if you get a Dr. Pepper. It would be rude.
Right. I literally will have a lawyer, someone who went to school for political science, with me, holding you accountable to the subscription. Okay? All right. You can also find us on all major podcasting platforms, where you can leave us a 5-star review. Make us look really, really cool. Super duper cool. Almost as cool as Bradley Cooper in that movie. What's that movie called? Limitless?
A Star is Born.
Oh, I don't want to look that cool.
Yeah, definitely there were some moments where he may have seemed a little bit uncool.
You can also support us on Patreon, where you can become an official Pepperhead for $3 a month. Support the show, get one free entry into each of our bi-weekly giveaways. And we have one at the end of the show today. It'll be a collector's booster from Duskmourne. And then you can become an official Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead like Will Rule, K-Mr. K, UWP Quirt, D-Mun 82, Tommy Cypher, Jacob Hibbard, The Boogie Ghost, Pool Boy Barry, Draw for Turn, and KB. That gets you two free entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways. We also have Reven left hanging out in the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge. And I saw the Tasmanian Devil in there today.
Oh, and, Taz himself.
Yeah.
Hey, don't we have an update on the hat situation?
Oh, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm literally wearing one right now. Check it out.
Storytelling. Woo! Wearing it the whole time. Eagle-eyed viewers had already noticed.
What's that?
Hats were here.
Yeah. Yeah, now you guy gonna do. These hats are crispy. They're corduroy, and they're beautiful. Snapbacks and everything. Oh, and they say, if you check out...
Hey, I have an idea for the next hat, actually.
Yeah.
It should say, crispy, corduroy, and beautiful.
Now, if we can get some corduroy sleeves made, that would change the game. That would literally change physically how the game is played. That's what we should be striving for. Next tier up after the cherry pepper vanilla head tier is we will get you a one of one set of corduroy Magic the Gathering card sleeves.
And that is an intermediate level between the cherry pepper vanilla head level that is exclusive to Ravenlift and the $2,300 level that so far no one has bid on.
No one. You get a corduroy t-shirt if you jump on that. And if you see...
Oh, the t-shirt is now going to be corduroy?
Well, I've been thinking about materials. I've been designing it in the lab. And corduroy just seems to kind of fit everything that we do. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Man, honestly, this tier, the $2,300 tier, was a joke. But if the payoff is that you get a corduroy shirt that says bedazzled on the back, like a crispy corduroy and beautiful, I think it might actually be worth it.
Yeah. And then on the front, it says, be a menace.
Ooh. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's coming together.
Yep. We're, you know, it's got two different, like, the front will be, like, this, like, really dark, like, it'll be like a two-tone, you know? Front side, dark. Back side, really light corduroy. Get some, like, gems stippled in it and stuff like that. Boom. Shirt. Design. We do it.
Yeah, there's going to be stippling.
Yeah.
We have stipulated that there will be stippling.
Yes, sir. All right, let's get into some of the things we're going to talk about today. If you are listening to this, and I have personally come up to you and asked you to subscribe, and you have, and you're going to listen to the episode, and you're here right now, well, there's a couple of decks I have literally in my pocket as I was speaking to you that I've been working on. There are a couple decks that I've been working on that I'm really excited to take to Vegas. And I think, we actually did a breakdown of Elevir early on, like I think like a month ago, 6 weeks ago, something like that. And so I've upgraded the deck. This is a deck that Revenlift actually won. And I've gone through and just put in some more upgrades. And this is something I'll be playing at the table in Las Vegas, alongside of a few other decks. Like, I actually printed out Atlas's deck from last week. Super excited to give that deck a run. And I'll have that with me. I'll have the Obnixilus list that we looked at. I'll have the updated Blue Farm post-ban list with me.
I think it's funny that you just blew through Atlas's deck without saying who the commander is, because he's, like, so iconic to that commander. You're like, I don't even need to tell you which card we're talking about. I'm just going to tell you the pilot. You know what deck we're talking about.
You know. I'm sorry. You just know. And if you don't know, you can listen to last week's episode. And so I put in some upgrades into Elevir. There's only one from Duskmourn that I was, like, really hellbent on getting in here. And it's Sheltered by Ghosts. It's an enchantment aura from Duskmourn. It's an uncommon, but it's insane, right? It's one in a white. When Sheltered by Ghosts enters, exile target non-land permanent and opponent controls until Sheltered by Ghosts leaves the battlefield. Just any non-land permanent. And then it says, enchanted creature gets +1/+0 and has lifelink and ward 2. So this card's kind of taking over standard right now, and it's good enough to be in this list. Like, the removal of a one ring, the removal of a Stax piece, and not only that, but you actually get to hit Elevir with an aura that like is removal, gives ward 2, gives lifelink. It does everything you want. The only thing it doesn't do is give trample, but that's, you know, also why we're playing Garruk's Uprising. It's why we're playing Kodama. It's why we're, you know, like, there are many ways to get trample in this list, and there's plenty of evasion. But if you need the card draw, like, from Elevir, this card represents another card during combat. So that's why I'm sold on it. I think it's a really great addition to the deck. And here's the thing, and I'm not embarrassed by it at all. You can tell because I'm saying it right now. I'm not embarrassed by the move that I made, the cut I made to put it in. But I cut Veil of Summer.
Controversial move. You were telling me about this before we started recording.
Yeah, I'm actually just not sold on Veil of Summer in this list. Now, if I'm, like, pursuing a particular combo and I need to protect the win, like, sure.
Because your version of the deck is still a win con list, right?
It is combat oriented, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I found a way, after we talked about Elevir, I found a way to squeeze in Archon of the Wild Rose, which I think is the Craterhoof Behemoth for this deck for 4 mana. You know, like, if you guys are unfamiliar with Archon of the Wild Rose, last year when we were at MagicCon, they were giving off, like, they were giving out pins with this artwork on it. And I was like, why are they boosting this card? It's not that good. And then I read it again, and I was like, this card's good. Man, this is really good. So it says, it's a 4/4 flyer that says, other creatures you control that are enchanted by auras you control have base power and toughness 4/4 and gain flying. So it's unreal because it just turns all the creatures that you've, you know, you've spent building up and snowballing throughout the course of the game, stacks pieces, you know, Thalia's, Grand Abolishers. I even found a way to squeeze in Gaddock Teague because I think, dude, Gaddock Teague's been around forever. No one talks about it. It is one of the best stacks pieces in Selesnya that we have, and no one's playing it.
That is a card I'm familiar with from like Modern several years ago, slightly, but I couldn't tell you what the text is right now.
Yeah, Gaddock Teague, green and a white, legendary Kithkin advisor. So typing, not really relevant. It's not a human, whatever. Non-creature spells with converted mana cost 4 or greater can't be cast. Non-creature spells with X in their mana cost can't be cast. Boom. Beautiful. Now, this doesn't stop an Underworld Breach. This doesn't stop like things of that nature, right? But this does stop One Rings, and it does like there are a few other things that you would be throughout the course of the game. You just be like, okay, I'm screwed. Ad nauseum. Nope. Like that's why I think if you can, like, if your opening hand is a Gaddock Teague, an Elvish Spirit Guide, and a land, I think I keep it just to, you know, depending on what's at the table. But if I'm playing against Rog'Sai or something, I'm like, yup, no ad nause, not for you. Like that's the power that Gaddock Teague has that I think has been ignored.
This is secret tech.
Well, it's
in the new meta.
I do think that it does get stronger in the new meta. Now that like we're not so worried about dockside or low to the ground strategies that are there are still like creature shells that bank on creature combos, but you can't finale, you can't green suns, you can't court of calling. But this also stops you from court of calling and stuff like that too. So you kind of have to like be a little apprehensive about playing it. But I do think that it is going to hurt my opponents more than it will hurt me. So Gaddock Teague, put a virtuous roll on it, and then it just starts punching, you know, drawing cards, filling your hand up. So that's why I'm stoked on it. I think it's really good right now and is worth like the slot here. I was playing Vorinclex Monstrous Raider before because I think that honestly for 6 mana, it sounds like it's a steep cost to pay, but Vorinclex is still, to me, one of a more underrated stacks piece in green. Like it takes half the counters are placed, so like the One Ring doesn't get anything. It sounds like I've been hurt. Did the One Ring hurt me? I don't know. Anyway, but you get double counters with that. It's also a 6/6 with trample and haste. So it comes out the gate swinging, ready to pop someone in the jaw. I like that a lot. I like it a lot. But yeah, the list has been updated. The one things, all right, so the reason that I was not so hot on Veil of Summer, sorry to circle all the way back to this, was because it doesn't, in this, since it's creature-based, combat-based win condition, I'm not pushing any combos. So why am I trying to, this protects my commander from like being countered, and that's pretty much it, right? Like, I'm not assembling some sort of like fragile glass cannon that wins me the game on the spot. I am doing that against people. And so I cut Veil of Summer because while yes, it does give my permanence hexproof from blue and black, and I would draw a card, it does replace itself. I would just rather have a card that does something than a card that would just basically replace itself. That's all it would be doing for me is like, okay, on your end step, you cast a blue spell. I will cycle this for a green mana and draw a card.
That is that's some big brain thinking about how like you just don't automatically include cards. Like, you know, if you're in limited colors like Selesnya, like Veil of Summer isn't an auto include. You have to think about what your deck is actually doing, which you did, and you went, well, this card doesn't add any value.
Yeah, it's just like a card quality and card like quality density over like auto includes. This is something that we'll be producing future content about this soon, is that like, we want to be, Flash, this is your idea. The idea of like taking color combinations and then just like giving you guys a structure to what, and suggestions to what cards and combos work best within those color combinations. And I think we're gonna kick it off maybe next week. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, sounds fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Kick it off with Flash's favorite colors, Orzhov. But
Yeah.
Please say your piece, Flash.
I have nothing to say at this time on this subject. Ugh. But next week, let's talk about it.
Absolutely. All right.
I would say next week we're probably going to talk about MagicCon, right?
Yeah, so yes.
At some point in the future, we will talk about this.
Yes. Next week, we'll cover all of the events of MagicCon, probably some pretty exciting announcements for the show. And hopefully we'll have hit that 400 subscriber mark. All right, the next deck that I'm taking to MagicCon that I think is spicy, and it has proven to be one of the major drivers of like views for this channel. A while back, well, obviously Lost Caverns of Ixalan came out, and alongside it, Jurassic Park cards came with it. A questionable decision by Wizards of the Coast, but we got a really cool dinosaur out of it, and I made a CDH breakdown of the Indoraptor. It was highly contentious because it was a Dragon's Approach deck. And people were like, it's not even the most efficient way to do it. Why are you doing it this way? And the thing is that every pilot has their purpose, right? That deck was actually an idea by Jordan, who I had built the deck as an homage to him because he had stopped playing Magic. And I was like, well, this inspiration is like, I'm not going to let it go to waste. So that's why I made the video. And so I've taken the time. I've moved away from Dragon's Approach because I've played the deck enough times to know that it's not. You know, like, hey, all you people out there, you're right. It's not incredibly efficient. But I put some upgrades into the Indoraptor, especially with Duskmourn coming out. Got some new lines. Got some new ways to make the Indoraptor just pop the F off, and I'm really hoping this deck performs because I think that it's worth revisiting and it's worth like maybe creating future content about it. So if you're unfamiliar, the Indoraptor is one of those Jund commanders. It's a one hybrid Golgari and a red that has Bloodthirst X. So the thing about Bloodthirst, that specifically is damage, doesn't count lost life, even though damage does cause the loss of life. There's a little nuance there, but it enters with +1/+1 counters equal to the damage dealt to opponents this turn. It's a 3/1 with menace. And then it has enrage, which says whenever Indoraptor the perfect hybrid is dealt damage, choose an opponent at random. Indoraptor deals damage equal to its power to that player unless they sacrifice a non-token creature. So pretty vicious. Right, you do 2 damage to each opponent. This thing comes in with 6 counters. You do, you know, you go through combat and you dole out 8 damage. Like, you know, it just kind of like keeps on going. It's kind of nuts. So what I've done is I've put in some new lines, some new cards from Duskmourn, like Enduring Vitality. And then I also put in Enduring Courage, the Dog Glimmer. To give Indoraptor +2/+0 in haste when it enters the battlefield. This also like allows for me to deal damage. I know like it's a 3/3 for 4, but still that combat is going to matter. And then Enduring Vitality is just basically turns all of my creatures into dorks. It's that Cryptolith right text. And then also is an enchantment creature. Dockside can't hurt me no more. I put Sanctum Weaver in here. Because regardless of whether like or not you believe it, Indoraptor is a big mana deck. Like it's a 3 mana commander, but it requires you to do things before it lands if you want it to be big. and then things after it lands if you want the effect to happen right away. So you need a lot of mana and a lot of different pieces. This is the Rube Goldberg machine.
There it is. We found your interest in this deck.
Yep.
Dinosaur and a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
An enchantment package?
There is an enchantment package. Yeah. Yeah, this is my weakness. So yes, enchantment package is live and well. Klothys is here. Klothys deals 2 damage to each opponent if you exile a non-land card. So boom. That gives you the 6 counters for Indoraptor right off the bat. Purphoros is here. Like I said, Enduring Courage, Enduring Vitality. A new combo line with Kiki Jiki and the Fear of Missing Out. And if you have Purphoros on the battlefield, it's just infinite damage through without actually dealing any combat damage, and then through infinite combats. And then you also have Goblin Bombardment here as an enchantment that you can just fling the fear. After it attacks, you untap the Kiki Jiki. The Kiki Jiki taps to create a copy of the fear. You fling the original fear, bye, and then go to your second combat, swing with the fear, untap the Kiki Jiki. Tap Kiki Jiki, create a copy, fling the second one, bye, and then you create a loop of damage that doesn't actually need to get through to your opponents. So there's a lot here with the deck. Like I said, it's worth revisiting, but the upgrades are plenty. They are aplenty, and they are beautiful. Orcish Bowmasters is here. Dothi Voidwalker is, like, it has shadow. It gets through for 3 damage if you choose to attack with it. So 3 counters on your Raptor. I'm also playing Walking Ballista, Agatha's Soul Cauldron, and Obnixless Captive Kingpin. So whenever one of your opponents loses exactly 1 life, +1/+1 counter, Agatha's Soul Cauldron, Walking Ballista, bada bing, bada boom, you remove the counter, deal a damage, Obnixless exiles the top card, gets a counter, remove the counter, deal a damage, bada, you know, that's the game. And then I'm also playing All Will Be One for the Obnixless triggers. And because if I deal a ton of damage and I cast the Raptor and All Be One is on the battlefield, I'm going to get to shoot somebody right away. So pretty sweet stuff. And I'm testing out Birthing Ritual as well. So all these upgrades, Modern Horizons 3 obviously came out with the double face stuff. So Fel the Profane is here. And then I'm playing the one red that everyone seems to want to be playing, Pinnacle Monk. And I get it. But Sundering Eruption is amazing. And it's $1.75 for a foil. You should go out and get one. Because it is 2 and a red. Destroy target land. Its controller may search your library for a basic land. Put it onto the battlefield tapped. Then shuffle. Creatures without flying can't block this turn. So you're playing against Atlas. Guy's Cradle is out. Snipe. Gone. You know, like, you have, like, it gets rid of the most problematic lands in the game. And then for this particular build, I want to be dealing damage, whether through combat or whatever. This just basically makes that nobody can block. Very rarely do people have flyers. And so this allows me to get my damage through, destroy a land, and most people don't even play basics. So you're just destroying a land and they get nothing. And I finally found room for Bridgeworks Battle. I know I said I don't like it, but it's a fight ability, and that means that damage is dealt to the Raptor. So I put it in. Yep. All right.
A lot of things going on in that deck.
There's a lot. I think this deck, is it CDH? No. Like, yes and
yeah,
no.
How many CDH cards did Evan name in this Indoraptor deck?
Quite a few.
I mean, there are definitely some off-meta considerations that were mentioned.
It's just I can't stop anybody. Like, that's the thing, is I have to pray that whoever's playing blue at the table stops the game long enough for me to do my stupid little machine, Rube Goldberg machine, and go, bloop, 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 and then go, and you're dead, and you're dead, and you're dead. And that's, I'm praying for that.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can this deck interact on the stack?
Absolutely
Can
not.
It win on the stack?
Well,
okay, good. Yep. So you have to let someone else police the table.
Yes.
You have to wait for your moment. You have preconditions. You have post conditions, and you cannot win on the stack.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, can't wait to see it.
Yep.
I hope this happens for you.
That's the thing, man. It's like, it's really hard. That's why the, like, I'm sorry. Like, yes. Okay. So there are combos that allow me to win, but, you know, requires setup. Like I said, there's Obnixilis, Walking Ballista, Agatha's Soul Cauldron. There's Obnixilis, Obi-Wan, stuff like that. You know, I have Mayhem Devil in here. There's a lot of really good cards. It's just, there's no way. I'm playing Dual Caster, but I'm not going to play Twin Flame. Right. There's just,
why would you want a combo with Dual Caster? Why would you? Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. Twin Flame just didn't seem valuable to me at the time. So I'm not playing it. Maybe I could cut just
again.
As well.
I cannot wait to see this deck. I hope this happens for you.
It's going to be in Vegas with me. So I will report back with plenty of news.
Listen, if you're going to gamble anywhere in America, why not be Vegas?
Right. Hey, this deck's not gambling. It's a sure thing. All right.
Got it. Always bet on Indoraptor.
It's got red and black in it. All right.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. There you go. Can't lose.
Exactly. And it has green, so it can hit the zero, too.
Oh, it can hit the... Oh, man. You hit the double zero? Look at you.
Yes, sir. All right. On to our main subject of the day. Well, there is a huge announcement, and it regards the format that we all play and the reason you're listening to this show. And, well, it's, you know, it's very timely. Wait,
was there big Dr. Pepper news that I missed?
Yeah. New flavor on the horizon.
Oh, my God.
Peach.
They're going to announce it at MagicCon Vegas.
No, I got this inside track. So if you're actually listening to this before the announcement at MagicCon, I'm breaking the news right now. There's a new flavor of Dr. Pepper, and it's called Peaches and Cream. And it's excellent.
Incredible news.
Yes.
And this is a tier 4 Dr. Pepper.
This is, tier 4 would suggest that it's not near the, not, you know, close to the top. This is, you know, I'm going to say tier 2, just below the OG, but like right there with strawberries and cream for sure. Yeah, this is no toasted coconut tier 0 S tier type beverage, but we're, you know, it's like they're still working out the kinks. They're trying to get fruit in there.
Yeah, previously fruit was not involved in Dr. Pepper.
No, nope. Just 23 mystery flavors.
Like they had rhizomes, they had roots, they had spices, bark.
Medicine. Yeah.
Medicine.
Medicine flavor.
Herbs, but never fruit.
Yep. And all those things come together to make one hell of a beverage. And if you didn't know, you're listening to the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. The Tasmanian Devil has arrived.
Have we mentioned the patron saint of this podcast yet?
Who's that?
Don Cheadle.
No, I questioned it. How did I not know? It is Don Cheadle. Our
yeah, because we mentioned Taz in the Lounge.
Yeah.
We did not mention Algae Rhythm.
Algae Rhythm or LeBron's fake family.
Yeah, which is weird. Why would Taz be in the Lounge? Because that is a Space Jam 1 character. And this podcast is exclusively about Space Jam 2.
Well, the thing is, he's in the background and in Space Jam 2. He doesn't have the forefront.
He's standing next to like Neo from the Matrix.
Yes.
And that's one of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Got it.
You've seen the movie. You know where he's standing.
I know the movie intimately.
Yes, you do. All right. Huge announcement today. Well, not today, yesterday. But Wizards of the Coast new Commander format panel is finally here.
It's actually 2 days ago.
Was it 2 days ago?
Because it happened yesterday in real time. And then by the time people are listening to this, We're recording on Thursday. We're releasing Friday. It will have been 2 days ago.
That's huge. Huge. Big brain thoughts right there.
Math.
Yeah. Math is hard, man.
It is.
All right. Last updated on October 22nd.
We don't talk about this a lot, but there is a lot of math involved in playing this game.
Yeah. That's why they say it's for blockers, because you shouldn't care about it.
Yeah. But like, so we're playing this game and just doing math
the whole time.
So this is just an excuse to do math, is what you're telling me, and memorize rules and do math.
I think when I was in high school, it's like, I'm never going to use this stuff. I use it every day. I think about it every day. That's 4 mana. If I have 4 mana and I need the combo, I need 6 mana. 4 plus 2. I am using it. I am using math.
This is why you need the limitless pill.
Opens.
To do all this math and memorize all these rules.
Yep. All the things you thought
and
you
obviously
forgot.
Obviously, the great flavor of Dr. Pepper. But
yeah, it's funny how they've disguised it as the tastiest beverage in the world, but secretly the way to open up your neural pathways.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's funny how they disguised it. Magic the Gathering, a game, is actually homework.
And math.
And math.
Yeah. Well, most of the time we play at home. Sometimes we go long, far distances to go play Magic in person with other people who have traveled across the country to do so.
And or across town or across the county, because that's what the Commander format is.
Yeah, it's hanging out with your buds and playing Magic. So the format is undergoing a massive change, and we're going to learn more this weekend. So if you're listening to this and MagicCon has already passed, you will likely have learned. This is going to be the top headlines in Magic World for the next probably like week or two. We're going to hear everybody's opinions on it. We're going to get all of our criticisms out of the way right away so that we can, you know, start to accept this panel, and so we can start to move forward, start to, you know, just see what comes of it. So Wizards of the Coast and specifically Gavin Verhey have announced the members of the Commander Format Panel, which is an advisory group of community members, content creators, and Commander players meant to help Wizards of the Coast steer the Commander format in the right direction. The advisory group members include Attack on Cardboard, Bandit, Benjamin Wheeler, and those three are all international players. So they have, like, that was one thing that Gavin, I think, initially announced, that he's doesn't want representation just from Americans, wants representation from around the world. So we have international players involved this as well. We got Charlotte Sable, Daquan Watson, otherwise known as Power Dragon, Deco, Greg Sablan, Itetu, Josh Lee Kwai, as we all know from Game Nights, Command Zone, Kristen Gregory, Lua Stardust from Scry Babies, Olivia Gobert-Hicks, as seen on Command Zone and Game Nights as well, Rachel Weeks, same deal, Rebel Lily, Scott Larrabee, Tim Willoughby. Those are two names that sound the same when you say them consecutively. Toby Elliott is the last member. And then they say that the significant change is that these aren't volunteers. These are people who signed contracts and will be paid for their efforts. There was also something that Rachel Weeks had come out and said just after it, and there is a clause in their contracts that say that they can't be critical of Wizards of the Coast without having public information to back it up. So a little like a non-disclosure agreement. I thought that was funny line.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a general non-disparagement.
Yeah, exactly. So Gavin explained that the success and ongoing community involvement with the Pauper format inspired Wizards of the Coast to build the Commander variant after acquiring the format. Keeping the community front and center here is critical. So we wanted to assemble a group of the community to manage Commander and call it the CFP. Yeah, so this is obviously more information is going to come out. We're going to hear more at MagicCon, and we're going to see the practice of power brackets come into play at MagicCon. And I feel like this is in a time and space where we're going to be lab rats. They're going to be looking, have cameras in every corner of that convention center, and they're going to be watching us scurry around the maze to figure out how best to balance this. So if you're at MagicCon this weekend, congratulations. You are a lab rat figuring out the power bracket system for the greater hive mind that is known as Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro.
Do you think your Indoraptor deck being in the mix is going to skew the results?
Dude, that's what I'm here for. That's why they call me Menace. That's the energy I bring, is I'm here to disrupt. And I do think it's going to. Because there are going to be this is how it's going to skew results, and I'm going to project the future here, is that they're going to look at the deck list when I submit it, and they're going to see that there's a lot of tier 4 cards in the list, and so they're going to go, this is obviously CDH. And so you would expect that a deck at that high of a power level or a bracket, right, would win some games. I'm going to go 0-4, baby. I'm going to skew the results to prove that you can have so many tier 4 cards or bracket 4 cards in your deck and still not win a single game. That's what it'll be. Or, unexpectedly, I will dance through the fire, through the raindrops, and win every game. That is also a potential outcome. All right, so the panel itself, it's a list for sure. It's a list of people. It's a list of content creators, and
no one can dispute that you just read off a list of people and a list of names.
I did indeed.
I think that is undeniable.
Scott Larrabee, Tim Willoughby, the same person. All right. Yeah. So the big thing about this is that basically everybody has a YouTube channel. Like, these are all representatives of the community and are represented through their content creation streams. And like, some of them are experienced players in multiple formats. I think that Power Dragon Flash, you've said.
Yeah, I know them from their standard content.
Yep. And Benjamin Wheeler's a Grand Prix winner. Like, I'm not sure which format could be modern, but these are people who have either spent extensive time like in other formats and have now crossed over to Commander, see the like, and now have their own like content creation streams based around Commander. And then we have, well, here's the thing is that I think Gavin was saying that he wanted to have a representative from CEDH, like, present. And a lot of the people from the list are actually from the advisory group that was disbanded or once Wizards of the Coast took over. So people like Rebel, Rachel, Olivia, Josh Lee Kwai, they were all part of the Commander advisory group prior to the, you know, biggest change of the format in history, which is the banning of Dockside, Nadu, Jeweled Lotus, and Mana Crypt, which we still don't know the new ban list. So we're going to learn a lot this weekend. But the big thing is that for me, I don't see a notable CDH player in here outside of Rebel. So while Gavin did say there would be representation, there is one. I was hoping for more.
So you're more locked into like who these personalities are. Like, I'm only familiar with a few of those names. Do you feel like this group is more representational of the format in general? And then also more like intersectional with CDH and casual than previously?
I think like, this is
what you know now.
Yeah, I think this is the same, like, as it was previous, okay, as to what it is now. Like,
still flawed, but the best you can do.
Yeah,
in circumstances.
Right. I don't think there's like one name, like, or one, you know, like, obviously, when earlier we talked and we said Hire would be a great addition to the list, you know, someone we know to be very, like, approach the game very logically, and then also be someone who teaches and cultivates the CDH community.
There's no one that stands out in this list to you where you're like, okay, I feel confident now in this group because there's at least one person that I fully trust to, like, represent what I feel are the best interests of the format.
Yeah, for me, that's absolutely right. Like, I don't know these guys personally, and the only representation that I have of them is through their, like, content creation streams. So, like, the thing that I'm, like, I guess I'm looking forward to in the future is either playing games with some of them to further understand, like, their play style, like, their demeanor, their personalities and stuff like that. And when anything, I'm looking for someone with that, like, Mamba mentality where it's like, win at all costs.
For the people listening to this podcast who don't know what sports are, Mamba is Kobe Bryant.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, that
was a very good basketball player.
Yeah. And I think that there are two people from, like, the NBA who represent, like, winning at, like, at any, like, not at any cost, but they sacrifice a lot to become successful. And it's like Kobe Bryant was one of them. He had the Mamba mentality, coined the catchphrase, it, you know, and it has persevered. It's something that, like, when you sit at the table or whatever, you are dialed in. You are, like, everything that you've put towards this effort will now culminate to the outcome of this game. That's how, you know, Kobe was, is that every game impacted the next game and the next game. The more you learn, and, like, as new players come into the league and stuff like that, you learn from them and you better your game. You keep getting better and better and better and better and better until your final game where you drop 60 points and everyone in the stadium's crying. Damn. Yeah, that was epic. But, you know, even Michael Jordan was, like, very much of that, like, focused mindset where he's like, I have to keep improving, you know. And I guess that's what I'm looking for. I'm trying to find my Michael Jordan of Magic, and I want them to sit in this panel to have a differing opinion than what is socially expected at the table. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. I understand your perspective. There are many perspectives on the format.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, it would be great if there were that competitive person on the board, but, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I get it. I don't know what the solution is, though.
This person might exist,
but, you know, is this an evolving thing? Like, what is the duration of the people's membership
exactly?
Like, is it a 1-year term and then it renews every year and some people carry over? Like, what is,
yeah,
does that information exist? I guess
there's yeah, and it might not yet exist publicly, but there is definitely more to this than, like, information we have. So we're, all of our opinions, all of this conversation is just based on the, like, the limited information that we have based on this announcement, and, like, the purpose of this panel. So when we see the brackets released, I think we'll be able to further, like, develop an opinion on what, you know, like, how they see cards and what vacuum they see them in, and then how it contributes to CDH. And it, you know, we might, there's just part of me that will just believe that CDH will just keep going on its current trajectory and ignore what's happening, and then, like, take the ban list, the new ban list, into consideration, but then just keep operating the same way it has, so, you know, for however long it has continued, and until they create a bracket or create a structure that is widely accepted by the CDH community, then they will adjust. They'll jump over and they'll be like, okay, yeah, this is it. This is legit. Like, this is the way it needs to be done. The structure we've been looking for. Because you know that the CDH community is looking for structure. The CDH community tried making their own ban list. And it's just because one guy was a Nazi, it dissolved. Like, they're hungry for it.
Yeah, that's definitely going to mess some things up. Like, just getting a Nazi in the mix will for sure throw a wrench in the works of whatever you're going for.
Yeah, you get a Nazi in the mix, you're making cookies at home, and it's just like, oh, a Nazi got it in there. Dang it.
I would just throw the batch out.
Throw the cookies away. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that'll do it. Anyway, there's so much more to learn from this, and we're obviously very excited regardless of our criticisms, but it's good to be skeptical, right?
You just care a lot.
Yeah.
And you are concerned for the health of the format.
Yeah. It's intriguing more than anything. And the most important thing we can do is be patient and have an open perspective and be willing to learn from this and trust the people who are in charge, right? So if something doesn't work out, they'll make a change. Like, you just have to trust that whoever's managing this will see that, make the change that they need to, and move forward. So regardless, I know that when the ban happened, when Wizards of the Coast claimed the Commander format, or at least made it an official, format, that everyone said this was the death of the format, that they were concerned. There are doomsdayers out there. It's not the death of the format. One mistake will not kill it. It is far too powerful for one of us to control or mess up. It will continue. And this is the one format that is like, it's made by the players. So regardless. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, one weird aspect of that is, like, you see other formats like rise and fall, like Modern, does Pioneer exist? Dandruk falls in and out of favor, like all that sort of stuff. But like, Commander is the only format that has continually like shown growth.
Yeah. And they keep making like boatloads of cash off of it. Like, people aren't buying cards for Standard anymore. Like, Slickshot Show Off was expensive for a minute, but it's not expensive anymore, even though it's still part of like one of the most popular decks in Standard. It's one of those things where, yeah, the ebb and flow seems, this Commander format is the ocean, right? And whatever is happening on the surface is so minimal to everything else that's happening below. It's like, yeah, I guess the reference or the the analogy I'm making is that even though there are tumultuous seas at times or whatever, there's still an entire ocean.
I get what you're saying, like, yeah. The format is so much larger than just like this aspect of it.
Yeah. Yes. So we will continue to sit at kitchen tables. We will continue to hang out with our buds, crack a few Dr. P's and like play games, jam, hate each other, love each other, laugh with each other, like yell at each other. I've seen that before, but it.
Listen, if we're not going to live, laugh, love, I'm not even going to buy that sign from the Home Goods.
Bro, there's so many of my buddies' wives who have that sign in their house. Oh, man.
Go to Home Goods.
Yeah.
Got them. We got plenty of them.
they just can't make enough of them, apparently.
Yep.
So, yeah, Commander is in good hands. We're just skeptical because we care so much.
Hey, do you think the Home Goods advisory panel will ever ban live, laugh, love signs? Like, are they just dominating the meta too much?
No, because they've also created the only
it's
good
like
food
soul and... ring of home goods.
It's like, no, they've made other signs. Another one are just quite as popular, and like, it's not that it's unbalanced, right? It is like definitely mana positive. I mean, vibes positive. But there are other signs that also generate vibes, man. Just not that efficient. I think I have a sign in my kitchen that's like, good food only in this kitchen.
This is the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering, Dr. Pepper, and Home Goods.
Absolutely. You can get some pretty cool stuff at Home Goods, but until they approach us, they have to approach us with the sponsorship before I'm going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, it has to make, like, it makes sense for our brand. I don't know if it makes sense for their brand.
Right. Yeah, that's very critical. But Dr. Pepper and we and Dr. Pepper have.
Oh, we are simpatico with yeah. Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yes, sir. Yep. Like,
you're. Yeah. Don't talk about Dr. Pepper without talking about the Mock Stars podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I even have Dr. Pepper.
And don't talk about the Mock Stars podcast without talking about Bradley Cooper.
And the Limitless Pill, because we look super duper cool when you subscribe to the show. Give us a 5-star review on all major podcasting platforms. Support us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, ring that bell. Make us look like Bradley Cooper. We also have...
What about that conversation made you think this was a natural endpoint for the episode?
Are we not ending? Do you have more to say?
Yeah, I absolutely do not.
All right. This is the Mock Stars podcast. You can also support us on Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. For $3 a month, you can support the show and become an official Pepperhead. And you can also become a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead, like K. Mr. K, Will Rule, UWP Quirt, D-Mun 82, Tommy Cypher, Jacob Hibbard, The Boogie Ghost, Pool Boy Barry, and Draw for Turn, and, ooh, almost forgot, we got KB as well. So thank you, guys. Thank you to everyone, absolutely everyone who supported the show in its entirety. We thank you so much. Thank you for listening. And hopefully, we'll see you at MagicCon with a mountain of Dr. Pepper and in an Indoraptor list that will lose a lot. Anything?
I'm excited to see it happen. Like, please bring home a dub.
Hey, if you never know when the comments on this video start appearing and they're like, "Yo, the Indoraptor list was so sick," you'll know. You'll know.
Listen, well, you know what? You sit down with that Mamba mentality and you start assembling that Rube Goldberg machine. Things happen.
Right. I was doing it with Shalai and Halar. I'll have that deck there too. But it's one of those things, man. Like, you will see a different side of Menace if you play a game with me. Like, there is a different focus. It's the same when I'm playing sports. There's a different creature lying within. So
yeah, hey, is it true that when you play flag football, that like when you have the ball, you can't be blocked except by two or more creatures?
That's exactly true. One will not do it. That's a touchdown. What's up? Only one person tried to stop me. One-on-one, you ain't beating me. That's for sure. I love that. Just to close out the episode, 1v1 me. Run a route on me, I'll run a route on you, 1v1 me. It's over.
Can people do that at MagicCon?
Hey, we might. Who knows how crazy things will get. There is literally a flag football tournament happening this weekend down there. So who knows how much crossover there is with that community, where like someone will just show up in their jersey, flag still on, ready to sit down, jam some games. I'll be like, all right, square up. Like, run it.
Hey, this is the Mock Stars podcast.
Show about Magic the Gathering, Dr. Pepper, flag football, Home Goods, Bradley Cooper, Don Cheadle, Nye Guy Gonna Do, Willie Send His Peeps, home of the mid-range mindset, and everyone's favorite podcast. Boom. That's just facts.
Hey. Obama, we know you're listening. That tier is open for you on the Patreon.
You will get a corduroy, one-of-one, two-tone t-shirt. It's going to be beautiful. Bedazzled on one side, be a menace on the other. All right.
I think you'll look great in it. All right. Bye.
Bye. All right, if you stayed to the end of the show, this is our bi-weekly giveaway. Thank you for sticking around. Let's do this thing. spinning the wheel. Let's shuffle three times. One, two, three. Spin! Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Who is getting this Duskmourn Collector's booster pack? Oh, it's close, it's close. It's Draw for Turn! Congratulations, Draw for Turn. I'll be reaching out shortly to get you your Collector's Booster Pack. Thank you so much to everybody for supporting the show and participating in the giveaways. We love you. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon. Peace!